Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody's having a fantastic Friday. Got a lot of wild articles for you today. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. I'm over in Lakeland right now, not at my regular desk, so if I sound a little muted or a little better, it's because I'm not in my same place. So I'm doing wonderful. How are you doing?
Oh, doing good, man. Staying busy. First article I want to start off with today, this is fantastic news. The SHARE Act, H.R. 3668, which basically went through and deregulated silencers and further protections for interstate transport of firearms, a bunch of different stuff. It is now passed the House Committee on Natural Resources on the hearing today, and it was held in the House Natural Resources Subcommittee on Federal Lands. And this essentially is moving forward. The SHARE Act now is awaiting a floor vote from the full House of Representatives that hopefully should be happening now in the next couple weeks. So that baseball shooting that happened with Congress months back, you guys remember that was the same day they were supposed to vote on this. It looks like that essentially Jeff Duncan, one of the individuals who was involved in that shooting, the congressman, he was the one who introduced the SHARE Act, and he made sure that he pushed this thing through and that they basically were forced to vote on it, and they did, and they passed it. So now it's going to the House of Representatives to see what they can do, and he said it looks very promising. So if we can get this done, as I have told you guys numerous times, this will be a huge, huge positive plus for the Second Amendment rights on bringing silencers off the NFA Act that were put on there in 1934. There's absolutely no legitimate or lawful reason whatsoever why a muffler or silencer or suppressor or whatever you want to refer to it as should be regulated in the NFA category. So hopefully this goes through, Dad. Again, I'll keep you guys apprised on what happens over the next couple weeks, but definitely very exciting that Jeff Duncan was able to push this thing through even after that fiasco on the baseball field.
Well, I bought a tax stamp for my FNN 45, and I bought a can for that. And shooting a 45 that's basically quiet is unbelievable. It shoots like a loud airsoft gun as long as you're using subsonic 45 ammo. It's absolutely wonderful. You don't even have to wear ear protection, and it's just amazing, Austin, what it does. So it is ridiculous that you're regulating accessories on a weapon accessory is not the weapon. It's just an accessory. It's like saying, yeah, I can't have a set of Packmeyer grips or a pair of wooden grips on my pistol because it has to be tax stamped by the, you know, ATF. I mean, it's complete and total nonsense. So I'm really glad they're doing this, and I really hope and pray that it goes through. By the way, Attorney General Sessions has a disgusting reason for not prosecuting Hillary Clinton, according to Judge Napoliano. He says that the U.S. Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, refuses to prosecute Hillary Clinton despite ample evidence of her guilt because politicians rarely go after their predecessors because they do not want their successors to come after them. And then they go on to say there may be an additional reason that no one wants to think about, and that is the possibility that Sessions is a mole who is beholden to the Clinton political machine. Quite frankly, with Sessions, what he's doing with the investigation on Trump and all the special counsel he's appointed, this guy needs to go away, Austin. He's really, really bad news, and he is not who we thought he was, Austin. I mean, this guy is just he has jacked up that position, and it's sad that he's still there, that Trump's allowed him to be there. What do you think?
What's ironic is about that is he doesn't want to go after because he doesn't essentially want to have her come after him. That's probably true in a sense, but just a much more deeper explanation of it is that she probably has a significant amount of dirt on him, and he doesn't want to do something to go after her because he knows she's going to release it on him and anybody else around him. And that's the real story. I can guarantee you why he is not prosecuting her. That's essentially what we've seen now all across the board. I talked about it with the mayors now all over the country that are being busted for issues with, you know, child porn and just weird stuff. And you see these guys involved in a lot of this stuff at the top level, especially with the bodies that they've buried and everything else. So it doesn't surprise me he's not doing that, but yes, he's definitely not at all what we expected. Also, too, it was kind of ironic. I pulled the article up from last night. I wanted to see what was going on with Berkeley after Ben Shapiro basically went over there and had his speech, you know, his talk, his discussion, debate at Berkeley, California. And apparently Antifa decided they didn't want to play games with the police that showed up. Very few of them actually showed up because they knew it wasn't a joke anymore. Nine people got arrested total, primarily for carrying illegal weapons, which were deemed as like clubs, billy clubs, baseball bats, that type of stuff, or for wearing masks. And I told you guys yesterday, and I called it, as soon as they showed up, the police arrested them on site. If they walked up to them and they had any type of weapon in their hand, if they had a mask on their face, they were handcuffed, detained, and arrested immediately. I was looking at some of the videos, and these police officers were not playing games. All of them had different types of pepper spray dispensing devices. They were not just walking around with little mace canisters. They had pepper ball guns, which are the paintball guns that shoot balls of pepper spray, essentially. They had multiple 40-millimeter tear gas launchers, which they're basically grenade launchers that fire tear gas. They also had other different options as far as that were viable on that. They were not playing that game after that last time those Antifa members did over $100,000 in property damage when that Yiannopoulos guy showed up and they started breaking out windows and spray painting and tearing down the school. So it's really sad to me that we had to have that level of police activity and that show of force to deter that behavior. But then it shows you again, these guys are not there to prove a point. If Antifa was really around, if this group was really there because they were anti-fascist and they were willing to create violence by any means to stop fascism, which is what they've claimed numerous times, they wouldn't care that the police showed up. They would say, we're going to show up at 2,000 or 3,000 deep, we're going to mob the police, and we're going to go ahead and fight for this because we absolutely hate fascism, even though their ideology doesn't make sense. But again, that shows you the majority of them are paid protesters, because it doesn't matter how much money you're paying somebody, nobody want to get shot in the face with pepper balls or get tear gas canisters shot at them or have beanbag rounds shot at them. That's not fun for anybody. So they decided, I guess, it wasn't fun for them, so they did not show up. Now the University of Utah is trying to replicate what Berkeley did, because I guess Shapiro is going over there next week for a speech. And there's already multiple groups that have started to say they're going to riot and do all this stuff. So it's sad to me in one sense that we're having to use this level of police force to deter this activity. But on the other hand, too, it proves a very valid point that these guys are not about their cause that they blatantly say. They're only there as paid agitators, and they don't want any type of confrontation when they know it's not going to be fun. They're not going to be beating unarmed civilians in the head with 2x4s and kicking them on the ground and pouring urine on them while they have no resistance. They're going to be getting shot at with pepper balls and tear gas as soon as they show up on the premises, Dad.
You know, Austin, isn't it amazing when the police do their job what happens?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, just do your job. Do your job that you're being paid for with tax dollars to prevent these terrorists, these mercenaries from coming in and doing what they're doing. By the way, we talked about this yesterday and the day before about Bitcoin. China has now ordered the Bitcoin exchanges to be shut down. The Bitcoin prices have dropped by 15% immediately. They have ordered them to be closed. Uncertainty about the digital currency future in China has caused the fall to drop 15% to about $3,300. The currency has shed about a third of its value since September the 1st. That is up from $600 a year ago. I mean, we told you guys that when these guys get ready to shut this down, all they have to do is make it illegal. But guess what's happening, guys? Six big banks, including Barclays and HSBC, are now partnering up to create a new cryptocurrency. Did we not call this out on the show yesterday? Banks operate under the highest levels of security, and they're tasked with keeping our transaction records safe and secure. And blockchain is a data structure that is a digital ledger of transactions, and it operates without a central bank and lets everyone on the network manipulate the ledger in a secure way. This technology has created currency and payment systems that is simultaneously secure, open, and global. And these six major banks are now setting up their own digital blockchain currency. They include Barclays, Credit Suisse, HSBC, MUFG, Canadian Imperial Bank of Commerce, and the State Street, and have now joined UBS as well as several others already on the project. These banks are currently in discussions with central bank regulators. Here it goes with the Fed in regards to their crypto coin. According to the Financial Times, they plan to launch this commercial-grade blockchain system next year. Wow, guys, we called this out yesterday, and we were dead on. China shuts it down, and the big banks are opening it up, and the Fed's going to be endorsing it. What do you think about that, Oz?
That's exactly what we talked about, man. I've been very skeptical of Bitcoin for the longest time. Granted, there are some people that made a lot of cash on it by pretty much betting on it. It was a gamble. It was a very big gamble. You might as well go play blackjack if you know how to play cards. It was pretty much the same type of gamble, and it did. Bitcoin went up. It had a high demand because it was essentially an anonymous currency that you could use, and there were pros to it on that aspect. But the same thing as we've said before, the only reason why they allowed this thing to expand, in my opinion, was because they wanted to see how far it was going to go and how the creators and the people that worked with it, maintained it, and kept up with it were able to continue to make it grow and got it so big. So they wanted to just allow it to go as a beta test. We're not paying for it. We're not investing in it. We don't have anything in it. Let's see where they take this. And like I said already, they brought an article out last month how IRS is chopping down now, finding people that are basically making all this money on Bitcoin, and they're about to start finding them, seizing assets, whatever they have to do, because they haven't paid taxes on capital gains from making all this money on Bitcoin. They've already planned on doing that from the beginning. Now they just wanted to see what was going to happen with it, and that does not surprise me one bit, because now the banks are going to say, listen, Bitcoin's uncontrolled, it's too unstable, there's nothing about it that's actually banked by a true reserve bank like us, because we're a real bank, we have real money, we have real assets, even though they're lying. What I'm just saying is what they're going to say, and they're going to say, we're going to create our own cryptocurrency that's going to be backed by the Federal Reserve, that's going to be backed by the central banks, and it's going to be a strong, true currency, and it's going to be a digital currency, and it's going to replace our paper dollars that are old money, dirty money. You don't want to handle those anymore. That's old money. You want the new cryptocurrency. You like Bitcoin? This is even better. See what we have to roll out now. And they're going to pick out all the flaws that Bitcoin had, and they're going to build up on it like they do with every single genetically modified food that they do, with the vaccines that they do, with the DNA splicing and all the weird stuff they're doing now with manipulating the genes and the animals that they do now. All this stuff is what they do. They don't ever create anything. They wait till somebody creates it, and then they steal it and shut you down so you can't utilize it anymore, and then they can go in and manipulate the heck out of it, which is exactly what they're going to do with a digital currency. And at that point, it will be the easiest rollout for them into a digital currency, because now you have a huge market in the entire world that is okay with Bitcoin, that owns Bitcoin, that's absolutely, completely all right with doing digital currency because of Bitcoin now. It's broken the mold. It's brought it out now into the mainstream light, and everybody is okay with it. Yes, Dad, this is exactly what we talked about. I was afraid this was going to happen, but that's why I told you guys for months and months and months, even last year, I said Bitcoin is not something I recommend getting involved in. I know some people that did it. Some people lost a ton of money. Some people made some money. To me, it wasn't worth the gamble. I'd rather put something in a physical asset like silver, which is incredibly undervalued right now. It is a metal. It is a industrial metal that will always have a demand no matter what. And right now it's being massively shorted over the years through the paper markets, but it always has a physical demand for it. Doesn't matter what they want to do, it can't really ever go lower than about $15 to $16 an ounce, as you guys have seen now with the markets. That's why I like silver. That's why I'm not a fan of Bitcoin.
No, I would never get into Bitcoin, because this is going to be the ushering in of the one world government and the one world currency and the lack of the dollars and basically a digital currency and the mark of the beast. That's what this thing is, and that's what we've warned you about for the last couple of years. By the way, Benghazi security contractors are now saying that the U.S. State Department silenced them. I'm going to repeat that. The Benghazi security contractors are saying that the U.S. State Department silenced them. Jerry Torres, CEO of Torres AES, which supplies security for U.S. embassies across the world, and a Torres employee, Brad Owens, say that their bid for the contract to protect the U.S. embassy in Benghazi was rejected in favor of small, well security contractor who hired local guards and did not arm them. It was as though there was a deliberate attempt to strip the embassy of effective protection. Torres said the State Department told him not to speak to the media or any officials related to the Benghazi program. How about that, guys? The people who made the devastating decisions during the Benghazi attacks are still in control over security for embassies. Guys, if you watch that movie, 13 hours, it will go into detail on what these guys did, their stand-down orders they were given, how they were told not to go to the other place where Ambassador Stevens was so he could be killed, which he was, and they wanted everybody in both those facilities terminated. That is what they do with the CIA when people know too much and they got to cut them down and be quiet, have them shut down because of the weapons smuggling that Hillary Clinton was involved in the Benghazi. They have to shut them all up. And now these guys are coming back and talking and saying, hey, guys, it's not cool what happened. Here's what they did. And guys, I'm telling you this, the more these guys start talking about this, the more people are going to know about it, but the more in jeopardy their lives are also. What do you think?
Absolutely. That movie, like you said, it paints a perfect picture of what happened with that. Everybody was supposed to basically die there. Nobody was supposed to come out of Libya at all. And that whole CIA black site, the embassy, everybody was supposed to check out. They refused to give them any type of air support. They literally had F-18s sitting on the aircraft carrier, spooled up, pilots in them, ready to go, and they would not release them. They even asked and requested, we don't even need an airstrike. Please just do a low flyover. Wake these guys up and let them know you're going to light them up if they do not retreat from the CIA dark compound, because that's where it was. And the thing about it is, one thing they didn't even... he makes a comment at the end of the movie that's very subtle, and he goes, they had those mortar coordinates dialed in well before this happened. And what happened was that was a CIA black site that they went on, and they basically completely descended on at the end of the movie. Nobody even knew what was there. Nobody was even supposed to know what was there. The only way they could have gotten the coordinates for that is if somebody gave them exactly where the CIA black site was when they started mortaring the compound at the end of the movie. So, yeah, it's a very wild movie. I definitely recommend watching it. Language is a little rough in some parts, but it's a very intense movie, and I can't imagine it. It's about as realistic as it gets as far as that situation with those contractors. And speaking of weapons trafficking now, the Pentagon now is continuing to ship billions of dollars of weapons to Syria, according to a new report now by two monitoring groups that are now revealing the U.S. is blatantly falsifying documents to cover its tracks. The Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project, OCCRP, and the Balkan Investigative Reporting Network, the BIR, has now uncovered evidence revealing that the Pentagon is not only shipping as much as $2 billion in weapons to Syria, it's also covering up the paper trail. The secret program began after the Pentagon's $500 million plan to train the Syrian rebels ended in failure in 2015 with only a handful of successfully trained. That's because, guys, all this stuff went to ISIS. Everybody keeps wondering how ISIS got so big over there. This is how. The Pentagon then started a new program for arming the moderate rebels, where they say that all the time over there. The investigation was built on the evidence from thousands of documents, including records, ship track data, and official reports and leaked emails as well as interviews. The report cite at February 2016, the Pentagon budget document requested $210 million in weapons, ammunition, and equipment for Syrian opposition. It then points out to an October 2015 defense press detailing they needed 50 tons of ammunition delivered to, and I quote, friendly Syrian Arab coalitions in Syria. The report then identifies another 700 million in weapons that were to be delivered from September 15th to May 2017. Then the Department of Defense budgeted in another 600 million for the Syrian arms operations for 2017 to 2018. Listen to this. They've already budgeted $900 million on munitions and weapons between 2017 and 2022 now, meaning they are planning on keeping the weapons funneling through Syria regardless of what happens over there. ISIS has absolutely nothing to do with it. The weapons supply network stems from the Balkans, Eastern Europe, and includes arms dealers, cargo and shipping companies, and German military bases. And so what's essentially going on here now is they've been doing this for the longest time. We talked about back in February, they made a $90 million additional shopping list, the Pentagon did, to send another 10,000 AK-47, 6,000 rocket launchers, and 6,000 belt-fed machine guns, again, over to Syria. Literally, this stuff just keeps going over and over and over and over and over again. Then it reveals the Pentagon is fraudulently manipulating documents to cover up its actions. The group found 7 contracts worth almost $100 million signed in September 2016, which reference Syria, or the DOD's internal code for the country, V7. However, as soon as the reporters asked back in March about the deliveries, the files were immediately deleted, and then the Pentagon declined to comment on any of this. A further $408 million of equipment bought since the strategy switch has no destination on its forms whatsoever. It is just sitting in limbo, essentially getting delivered wherever it's supposed to get delivered to, but has no delivery address on the documents. And this just article keeps going on and on and on about this. This is what they were doing. This right here is the smoking gun on how ISIS stays so well armed, so large, so heavily populated as far as with their weapon density, and how it's had, they have literally an endless supply of ammunition over there that does not stop. The Pentagon is blatantly funding them. There are not that many Syrian rebels fighting Assad. They are not burning through $2 billion worth of guns and ammunition to fight over there. That is complete and total joke. Now we see how they're doing it, how they've been doing it, and the documents are finally getting leaked out. So this is pretty wild now to see how this is actually being done with these guys over there.
Again, Austin, we've talked about this. We've talked about how the Pentagon was funding it, and you're absolutely right. It's amazing when they actually come out with this information that these things are being deleted, because they don't want us to know that we, the taxpayers, again, we, the taxpayers, yes, us, me and you, and everybody listening to the show today are paying to arm the rebels in Syria to go against Assad's pro-Christian government. I mean, come on, guys. This is ridiculous. By the way, the Vandals aren't stopping. Now they're defacing the statue of the national anthem author Francis Scott Key in Baltimore. Baltimore's monument to the man who wrote the Star Spangled Banner was defaced Tuesday night with the words "racist anthem" scrawled in black. The phrase was written at the base of the concrete and marble Francis Scott Key monument. Besides the black lettering, the structure was splashed with red and black paint. Now, why did they do this? Because this was actually written, it wasn't during our Civil War, it wasn't written during the War of Independence, it was written during the War of 1812. It was actually written in 1814. And what it says, it's interesting, if you read it, if you read all of the deep, all of the verses, it's talking, and it starts talking about no refuge could save the hireling and slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave, and the star-spangled banner in triumph doth wave over the land of the free and home of the brave. So they're not even saying anything about slavery being okay, but slavery was legal back then. So they're saying no refugee could save the hireling, the person being hired, and the slave. That's all they said. This guy's not a racist. He's commenting on the times and what they were, but now he's a racist. And now they're defacing the statue of him after he wrote the Star Spangled Banner that's being sung all the time. I guess they're trying to find a way to justify, Austin, why he's a racist along with all of these other people sitting down during the national anthem, making everyone a racist. And by the way, you have to understand there's a propaganda war right now being waged in the media and on YouTube, and the word racism is serving the same purpose today that the word McCarthyism did in the 1960s. It has no bearing on reality, but repeated loud enough and often enough and backed by the authority of the mass media, it is intended to discredit, silence anyone who opposes the leftist agenda. And here are the examples of the extreme bias in this process. And it goes into detail. If you want to watch the latest article from G. Edward Griffin, he actually shows all of these. But guys, I want to say something. McCarthyism really happened. Racism is not happening right now. McCarthyism was a communist takeover of Hollywood, the communist takeover of the studios in Hollywood, to bring in a communist ideology and a one-world socialistic government. That's who these leftists are. That's who these communists are. That's who these guys are who continue to promote this type of behavior. That's who Antifa is. That's all of these guys doing this together. These are communists, and that's what they are, and they really did do this, and that's why they wanted to smear them by calling them said by calling it McCarthyism, when Senator McCarthy came out and started calling these guys out for their leftist ideology and their open support of communists, a lot of these guys were actually card-carrying members, including Humphrey Bogart, including Gregory Peck, and a lot of these other guys were card-carrying members of the Communist Party back in the 40s and 50s and 60s. Guys, this wasn't a joke back then, just like they're trying to do the same thing by saying that we're racist because we're white. Complete and total nonsense, Austin. What do you think?
Yeah, it is pretty bizarre, honestly. A lot of it is. I mean, all the ignorance knows no bounds as far as what they're doing now with these statutes and everything. What it essentially turned out to is there's just a lot of really, really ignorant people that are just mad, and they have nothing else to do, so they're running around defacing statues, and they have no idea what they're even talking about. They have honestly no idea what they're even defacing as far as these statues, what they're even about. It just goes to show you that with the Star Spangled Banner. But one thing that is it's odd to see this now, because you see that it's not just these people that are being ignorant and doing this. We see, and I say it almost on the show every time, the media is blatantly inciting violence and racial hatred. This stuff a lot of times would not even be getting brought up, nor to be escalated into these situations, if the media did not continually use their mind control tactics over and over and over and over again with their TV shows and their news media and their nighttime anchors and their colors and their font. I've talked about it in detail before. The way they do all this stuff on the nighttime news, it's all extremely aggressive mind control, and it puts a lot of these people in these unbelievably manipulative states where they can go in and say, yes, all white people are bad. Yes, everybody's a racist but you. Yes, there's a statute over there that you need to go deface because it's racist. And these people fall into it. I mean, it happens more often than it should, but it's getting worse and worse and worse now, because I feel like the media is doing such a good job at brainwashing people so effectively. So it's definitely it's sad to see this, but it's not surprising at all, because this is what they're trying to push as strongly as possible. Also, too, this is another story that's pretty wild out of the border down there in Texas. A customs agent now seized a lawful gun owner's truck because he had 5 bullets in his truck while he was still in the United States, and now he's having to sue to get his truck back. This was back in September of 2015. Gerald Serrano was driving from his home in Kentucky to Mexico, and he went to the Texas Eagle Pass border crossing. And essentially what's happened now, they found a small magazine in his car, in his truck, and they seized his truck over it for no lawful reason at all, and now he's having to sue to get it back. According to the lawsuit, he basically went through he was going through the checkpoint as far as to go into Mexico, and he was taking photos of the checkpoint before he went in, and one of the borders agents came up to the window and said, you have to give me your phone now, you can't take photos. And he said, okay, I'll delete the photos, I'm not giving you my phone. So they grabbed his door, undid his seatbelt, yanked him out of the car, and demanded that he give him his passcode to his phone. He said, no, I'm not giving you a passcode to my phone. Go get a warrant if you want it, but I'm not going to give you that. I'm not doing anything. You can't just demand to get into my phone. And they said, no, you're going to give it to us, blah, blah, blah. So it's big altercation. Well, then one of the agents goes in the other side of the truck and starts searching his truck without his consent. He finds a magazine, a 380 of all things, a little 380 magazine. He goes, we got him. So they immediately detained him, because apparently civilian firearm ownership is illegal in Mexico, unlike the United States, but technically he had not even gone into Mexico yet. He was still in the United States, and it was not a firearm. It was only ammunition. And so it was very unusual that this happened. Apparently he had a concealed weapons permit. He forgot the magazine was in his truck when he left to go on the trip. He left his gun at the house. And so it was a complete and total mishap. It wasn't a big deal. Well, they ended up putting him in holding for like 5 hours. No food, no water, no toilet. They'd eventually come by and say, give us the passcode for your phone. He said, no, not going to do it. So then finally, after a few hours, they finally let him out, and they said, you're free to go. Here's your phone, and get out of here. Well, then the agents handed him a document informing him that Customs was impounding his truck and the ammunition magazine. They said the items were subject of legally becoming the property of the federal government, according to the document, because Sereno failed to disclose the presence of the magazine, making the truck a conveyance of illegal exportation. Sereno told the agents to arrest him. He said, if I did something wrong, arrest me. I know I'll win in court. This is absolute and total nonsense. You can't just seize my vehicle. Well, they seized his vehicle, and now 2 years later, he is still fighting in court. It was like a Chevy 1500, a newer one. I saw a photo of it. It's like a $35,000, $40,000 truck. He's still fighting to get his truck back because they said, nope, we're seizing your vehicle now under asset forfeiture laws. You are basically importing weapons or munitions into Mexico illegally, so we're seizing your weapon now. Guys, this is an issue that's getting so bad in this country, and nobody seems to want to discuss it whatsoever, yet it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. The asset forfeiture laws are completely out of control. Just in 2014, federal law enforcement officers took more than $5 billion worth of cash and property from people in 2014 alone, more than the total amount of reported burglary losses in the entire United States that year as well. This is something that's very, very difficult for a lot of people to imagine that's happening, but it happens on a regular basis, especially around border states, because what's happened now is after the border, 50 miles away from the border, you essentially are in an unconstitutional zone, which means you have no constitutional rights. They can pretty much do whatever they want, all under the name of Homeland Security and national protection now because of 2011 and the authorized Patriot Act that Bush signed. This is where this has turned now, guys. So it's very important if you ever have the opportunity to help out with these cases, fight these cases, or get legislation removed or at least brought down a notch. A lot of states have done this now. They said asset forfeiture is illegal. We're not allowing this. You actually have to have a criminal conviction before you're allowed to seize this guy's vehicle. But a lot of states, like Texas, still have not done that, which is very sad. So this guy's having to pay for an attorney out of pocket to get his truck back that was illegally stolen from him, Dad.
Well, Trump now is coming out against the asset forfeiture under Sessions and saying they're not going to allow that to happen. And so, I mean, I'm really proud of Trump for doing this because remember, Trump is in the middle of a mess. We talked about at the beginning of the week when we were talking about all the different groups of people that are steering the United States, and the federal government branch, the executive office, really isn't even in the mix. I mean, that's sad, but it's true. The CIA is the one with the military pretty much doing everything, and the bankers. And so this is a mess that we're in, and quite frankly, I believe that Hurricane Irma and Harvey were both steered, and I talked about that the other day. Let me give you some more research on that. In the 1970s, after HARP was basically developed, they were developing these high-pressure systems, but in the 70s, they developed another evolution or weather modification that occurred within the U.S. Air Force and the National Reconnaissance Office, deploying military satellites with dual-purpose surveillance and electronic weapons functions. These were later incorporated into Ronald Reagan's Strategic Defense Initiative, Star Wars, as a futuristic space-based defense system against intercontinental ballistic missiles using electronic weapons such as masers, which are a microwave amplification of stimulated emission of radiation. It was found that masers could be loaded into satellites. These are like powerful rail guns, they are basically sending out these frequency waves, which could then generate powerful microwave radiation with great accuracy. Maser satellites were allegedly tested in the creation of many crop circles, this is interesting, that first began appearing in English countryside in the 70s. According to a number of scientists investigating crop circles, there were extensive evidence that microwaves were being used to generate some of the elaborate patterns. Now, the way it ties into what's going on is they can heat different parts of the storm, backside, front side, and steer it this way. In addition to that, when they put an energy conduit like this through the ionosphere, it acts like you're throwing a giant electrical cable through the ionosphere into the lower stratosphere, which brings down tremendous amounts of electrical energy into the storm, which is one of the primary factors which influenced the strength of the storm, which caused the circulation effect of the storm and also the wind. So what they're doing is they're throwing a giant extension cord from space-based weapons systems using these types of programs into these storms and turning them any way they want and increasing the amplitude of the energy by thousandfold by running the energy directly out of the ionosphere. I told you guys I'd explain this in a couple days. That's what they're doing with these storms. That's how they're controlling them. That's why you notice when Trump went ahead and signed with, you know, Pelosi, the extension of the budget, which he said he wasn't going to do, suddenly the other Hurricane Jose just dissipates out there, because just as easily they can dissipate the eye, dissipate the storm. That's why we haven't had a major storm in the United States since 2005. And now, that was Katrina, and two years before that, three more storms. And now, all of a sudden, we have two storms in a row, whack Florida, whack Texas, whack these big centers of Trump supporters, including Mar-a-Lago, Trump's little paradise that he built for himself down there, or bought basically at auction for pennies on the dollar. And what they're doing is they're basically forcing him to do what they want to do, regardless of the consequences or the loss of human lives. This is how they do it, guys. This is Star Wars. This is laser-based technology. And this is one of the things that Judy Wood said they used to bring down the trade towers. She said they were hit with microwave energy, would cause cars to burst into flames miles away. If you read her book, Where Did the Towers Go? By Dr. Judy Wood, who's a structural engineer, by the way, by trade. And she was a college professor for years until she released the book. And now she no longer has a college professing job in a major university that I know of, because she talked too much, I guess. But this is what they do. They're using the energy from the ionosphere. Years ago, Austin, they had the space shuttle, and they wanted to basically drop a tether into the Van Allen radiation belt, because they don't like getting into that, because the shuttle flies underneath it, to see what would happen to the space shuttle if they dropped this tether, this long, long line, into the Van Allen radiation belt. And they were able to discharge it to go into the Van Allen radiation belt, and it almost completely destroyed the shuttle. It almost caused all the systems to fail because of the huge amount of energy that was transferred out of there through the cord that they had dropped. This is what's going on right now in space as we speak, with this advanced weapons technology that was developed and built under Reagan's with Star Wars. And guys, it's not getting any better. It's getting worse. They're finding more and more ways to control us, until eventually they have a complete control fence grid around the entire planet with the over 20,000 satellites that are in orbit right now around the planet. And they're going to call it a giant planetary defense grid. I'm going to call it a giant planetary surveillance grid, where they can figure out what everybody's doing at any single time they want to find out, Austin, with the nano chips they've already put into all of us through the smart dust. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, and throw in the 5G at the same time. All that stuff, man. I mean, all of it starts to come together when you start doing the research on it and seeing exactly what they want to do. That's what they're saying now. They want everybody in Africa to be able to have a smartphone in 5G. There's a reason why. They don't care if people in Africa can get on eBay and get on the Internet as soon as they want to get on with 5G. They could care less about that. It's about what Dad just said. It's about building a giant grid all across the globe, so they can literally interconnect everybody on this system. It's the same way that they're going to have to do it in order to get the wireless vehicles, the driverless vehicles, autonomous vehicles driving around. All these things are going to have to be completely connected on it. That's why they want to bring everybody into this system. I told you guys yesterday the article about in Sweden now. There's been over 3,000 people that have been chipped, microchipped in Sweden, and now the North Europe's largest train rail system is now using devices to be able to scan your chip in your right hand as your boarding pass. They're already doing this. They're already getting ready everybody to do this. And now you throw in crazy stuff like the new iPhone 10 that doesn't even have a fingerprint scanner anymore. And I mean, I remember when the iPhone 5 or 6 or whatever it was came out, and it had the option, you know, the one you could get with the thumbprint scanner on. And everybody's like, oh man, I don't like that. And I was like, I'm not a big fan of that either. Security wise, it's decent, but you know, it is what it is. Now that's old technology. Fingerprint technology, don't even need that anymore. Now it's full biometric facial recognition software that progresses as you age. So it literally takes a snapshot every single day of you when it does the facial recognition to let you in your phone. So it lets you know as you get older, it factors in how you're aging, so it can keep a constant eye on you. This is where all the systems are going, guys. This is how advanced this stuff is getting, and it's happening so rapidly. And the thing about it is, most people are falling prey to it so easily. They think, oh, this is convenient. Oh, this is great. This helps with this. This helps with that. But the truth about it is, it's something that really everybody needs to be really aware of and understand that it's going to happen very, very quickly if we allow it to. We can't support this stuff whatsoever. Now, also, too, a new article on Amazon and Whole Foods. You guys know when Amazon bought up Whole Foods, it picked up Whole Foods. Any issues that was going on with Whole Foods, it got them as well now. Well, now already, one of the biggest issues they're running into is that Amazon apparently has had, Whole Foods has had an investigation on them now from an animal rights group, Direct Action Elsewhere, that was challenging Whole Foods' core selling points of healthy and humane food. The group accused Pittman Farms, the maker of Mary's Free Range Chicken and a huge supplier, one of their main chicken suppliers, the Whole Foods, of breaking its promise of free range environment to the birds. Apparently, they actually went and did a interview over there at some of these places, and they found that not one single bird was outside roaming. They found no indications of any outdoor living chickens whatsoever, such as feathers or fecal matter, and a 24-hour surveillance camera attached to six separate locations revealed no outdoor birds under any circumstances whatsoever. Instead, the chickens were packed shoulder to shoulder inside the dusty sheds with degraded air quality like they always do, and forced to challenge one another for access to food and water like they do in the big old chicken pens that they put them in, and they grow them as fast as they can, have either eggs or slaughter them as fast as they can. And now Amazon's about having to deal with this because they own Whole Foods now, and Whole Foods apparently has been under investigation for this. This is another reason why I've always told you guys, be very aware of what Whole Foods produces even before Amazon bought them. Now that Amazon owns them, you can be very rest assured that a lot of stuff is not going to be what you think it is there. So if you are going to buy something from them, if you are going to get organic food, I always recommend you get it from a very reputable company. The problem is when Whole Foods did their brands where they labeled everything with their private label, it just ran amok with all types of shady business dealings as far as with the foods they were using, whether they were GMOs, whether they weren't, whether they were organic, whether they were free range, all that stuff. And so now that Amazon's bought it over, I highly doubt that Amazon cares one single bit about the health and well-being of anybody in this country. That's why I told you guys yesterday when they were going in and deleting negative comments and one-star ratings of Hillary Clinton's new horrendous book, that they don't care about the consumer. They don't care about giving people the truth. They don't care about helping anybody. It's all about is making as much money as they physically can. That's the issue that I have with Amazon and everything they do, not to mention they're neck deep in, actually, with the CIA and all the other globalists that are running around. So, yeah, I thought that was kind of funny there that they bought Whole Foods, and now Whole Foods apparently has been under investigation now for this chicken thing for a while.
You know, you guys laugh about this because, you know, you think that it's, a chicken in a cage or whatever. But, guys, you can't believe the living conditions these chickens are in. It's pretty bad. I mean, these chickens die. They die in the cages, and they're propped up because they're crammed in so tight, and they got to remove the corpses. And the corpses have been taken out and supposedly not fed to us, but, you know, used in dog food. So who knows what they're doing with these guys unless you're actually inside watching how these chickens die. And what's also interesting about this, let's say the chicken's covered in cancerous tumors and boils all over the chicken, except for the legs. The two legs don't have any cancerous tumors. They're allowed to cut the two legs off that chicken Austin, discard the rest of it for dog food, and feed the two legs to human beings. That's the law. That's how they can do this. It's absolutely sick what they do, it's criminal what they get away with. Let me give this whole story real quick about civil forfeiture. The House tells Sessions that Justice Department, it will not stand for civil asset forfeiture. Because, you remember, Sessions wants to start seizing everything from every... This is crazy. He says, this is the source of this, believe it or not, is the ACLU. This is the House sent a strong message of rebuke to the attorney. I was wrong. It wasn't Trump. It was the House. To Attorney General Jeff Sessions on an civil asset forfeiture case last night, the House adopted three amendments offered in appropriation bills that prohibit the Department of Justice from using funds to increase certain federal and local forfeiture practices. Representative Amish, Republican from Michigan, summed up the problem with civil asset forfeiture in one sentence. It is an unconstitutional practice that is used to violate the due process rights of innocent people. That's what he said from the House floor. This bipartisan showing was in response to the idiot Attorney General Sessions, I added that, in July, his announcement to expand the use of civil forfeiture. Civil Sessions' action was a reversal of a 2015 Attorney General Eric Holder policy that prevented local law enforcement from using federal forfeiture laws to circumvent more restrictive state forfeiture laws. In other words, what Sessions wanted to do is basically say, we're not going to listen to you and the state government. We're going to use the federal law and take all your stuff whenever we want to take it. And the House is saying, no, we're not going to let you do that. This Sessions guy, this guy's awful, guy. He's awful. He's awful. Also, anything else you want to add to that?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's like I said, that's why I talked about that article earlier. The whole asset forfeiture thing needs to be repealed, because what it's done now is it's allowed the local sheriff's departments and all the different other federal agencies to actually utilize funds from the money they seize, the vehicles they seize, any property they seize, and actually add them into their budget, to where a lot of agencies now, including sheriff's departments, and I've been told this by sheriff officers before, that they actually plan their budget on how many vehicles need to be seized every single month, so they can auction them off and they can take the money and add it into their budget. There was one article that came out, I think about a year ago, and it was talking, I think out in Arizona, maybe New Mexico. It was a little foggy, but I remember this was a couple years back, and they were telling the sheriff's officers that they needed to have at least 40 vehicles a month seized through asset forfeiture, so they could turn around and auction them off and take the money and add it into the discretionary budget. Because if they didn't add that in and they didn't get those vehicles, they were looking at possibly having budget cuts on certain aspects of the agency. So allowing these guys to get this bloated, where they rely on seizing American citizens' paid for assets, is completely mind-boggling to me. I remember, and it doesn't have to be paid for. The vehicles can be financed, by the way, guys. I don't know if you guys know this. You could have a $50,000 truck financed. You're upside down, financed. You owe $50,000 on it. Truck's worth $45,000, $50,000. You're buried in it. You get in a predicament like this one guy did down in Texas, had a magazine in his truck. They seize the truck. They don't pay off the lender. You still have to make payments on the truck, or else they come after you for the truck. And if you don't pay for it and you say, I can't pay for it, they seize the truck, they say, it's not our problem. You signed the note. You owe us the money. We want it now. If you don't pay it, then we're basically going to go into default, and we're going to start putting huge penalties and interest on it until you either pay it or you file bankruptcy. And, I mean, I had a buddy of mine that I knew. He got in an incident on his motorcycle, and he ended up having some – he got arrested, essentially. And granted, there was a lot of conflicting stories with the law enforcement officers with the motorcycle incident, but regardless – the vehicle got impounded. Well, he went to court and, you know, got a lot of stuff dropped with an attorney, but the whole time the vehicle was still an impound, accruing fees, accruing fees, accruing fees, accruing fees. The bike was financed. He still owed like $12,000 on it. He finally, like I said, got the case pretty much dropped, had to do community service, pay a fine, blah, 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 the whole nine yards. He goes back to get the bike and they say, oh, well, with impound fees, with holding fees, with cleaning fees, with any type of other fees that we want on top of it, you owe us like $19,000 and we'll give you the bike back. He goes, $19,000? The bike's only worth $10,000 and I owe $12,000 for it. Well, sorry, that's the only way you're going to get the bike back. He goes, but the bike's not paid for. I owe money on the bike. Sorry, not our problem. You have to take that up with the lender. It's our bike now if you don't want to take it. And he could take it. He ended up filing bankruptcy. He couldn't pay for it. And the problem was, they owned it. They literally impounded it. And there is nothing you can legally do about it. They literally seize it, give you a laundry list of bills. It was something stupid. It was like $110 a day impound fees that they put on. I mean, it was stupid. I mean, I'm looking at the list when he showed to him. I said, can they charge this? He goes, dude, they charge whatever they want. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to sue them? You're going to get another attorney and sue them? Yeah, you could probably do that. You're going to have $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 in attorney fees. Then they're going to say, okay, we're going to drop the impound charges, so we'll give you your bike back now that you've defaulted on, that you still owe $12,000, but now with the fees and interest from the default, you owe $20,000 on the bike. So you're $20,000 in the hole with the attorney. Now you own a bike that you owe $20,000 on. You can't sell. There's no win. It's a lose-lose scenario in every way, but yet this happens on a daily basis all over the country. Very, very big pet peeve of mine, and it's probably one of the most irritating things to me that law enforcement does on a regular basis that is beyond unconstitutional, yet we have had such a difficult time getting a lot of this stuff repealed. So I really hope that this stuff can be put to rest with Trump, or at least make it very, very difficult for law enforcement to get away with this stuff, Dad.
Well, I remember there were two guys involved. And Austin's telling you the facts on what happened with this. He doesn't go into the detail, but I knew both the kids who were involved in this. And one of them, they had two bikes impounded because of this. And the one kid, his father, the bike was in his name. And he went to the doggone impound lot like a day after the bike got impounded.
Yep.
And got it released. And the other kid couldn't do it because the bike was in his name and was still under, basically, he was still under the charges. You're right. That was Kurt, and he ended up filing bankruptcy. I remember that. And I mean, it was awful. I mean, it was awful. He had tens of thousands of dollars in attorney fees, all of this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And the poor kid had absolutely no way. And don't get me wrong, he was doing something stupid on the motorcycle, but it cost him dearly, including a Chapter 7 bankruptcy on his record permanently. So it was really, really, it's really sad. By the way, if you can't beat him, join him. This is a great article by Johansson. Campbell Soup Company gobbles up an organic company for $700 million. They bought Pacific Foods of Oregon because they want to get into the organic market. Now, here's the problem I have with all of this. When you take these mom-and-pop businesses, even if they're worth $700 million, and you buy them up, and they're trying to guarantee a really high-quality organic product, and they go into a massive conglomerate like Campbell's, which is owned by the globalists, you have no idea what Campbell's is going to do with the quality or with the organic nature of anything they produce. Because, guys, here's the thing. If these guys are allowed to buy up all of these different places that manufacture all of this organic food and all of these suppliers, they can pretty much shut down the organic food production, and there'll be no distribution grid to put it through. It'll be over with. I mean, now that Whole Foods has been bought up by Amazon, this is a major, major problem. Because remember, guys, they don't want you eating organic. They don't want you eating healthy food. They don't want you eating foods that have a high nutrient density. What they want is you to eat as much junk as you possibly can, to get as sick as you possibly can, to get as sterile as you possibly can, so you can be on as many drugs as they can possibly put you on, so you die as soon as you possibly can and not have any children. Now, that's what they're doing. And now the hard part about this is trying to believe that these guys are that crazy, that they do sick stuff like this. This is what they do. Remember, you say, well, they would never do that. No, you would never do that. You, our listeners, would never do that. You would never go in and intentionally try to poison somebody with GMO food, or intentionally try to poison somebody with vaccines loaded with mercury and aluminum. You would never allow yourself to do that. That's not who these guys are. These guys are psychopaths. They're sociopaths. They're a bunch of sickos. I mean, look at Nicole Kidman's dad. Nicole Kidman's dad was a psychologist who worked with children, and he was killed a few years back under charges in Australia that he was running a child pedophile ring that hunted children on large retreats in Australia for sport. Now, I'm talking to the death. I mean, this is crazy. These children were hunted, trafficked for sport and murder. In the late afternoon of October 27, 1975, this lady gives a complete story of what they did. They were tracked with, a large group of men arrived in pickup trucks. They carried rifles and had a pack of starving Doberman dogs. And they were told in the group of naked children huddled nearby that they were their responsibility and they had to hide. And these children were shot and abused through the Ninth Circle Satanic Child Sacrifice Cult. That's who these guys are. They're involved in all of this occult stuff in Washington, D.C., the Sabbatean Kabbalists. They could care less about your kids, my kids, their own kids. They don't care. These guys are perverts. They're weirdos. They're sociopaths. They claim to be the benign Nephilim, sons of the fallen. They say that their DNA, their genetics, is actually different than our DNA. So you can look all that up with Nicole Kidman's husband, or her father, and he fled the country, and then he had a heart attack before he could testify or turn state's evidence against everybody. Guys, this stuff is real. Doug Hagman and I have talked about it at length, about these kids being kept in cages and what they do, and I don't even like discussing any of this because it's so sick. But guys, watch your children at Halloween, which is coming up again in a few months, that nightmare satanic holiday. Make sure you have them on a rope. In fact, I recommend you don't even go to Halloween and basically don't even be involved in that satanic holiday. And guys, please monitor your children. Be careful with them wherever you take them, because this stuff is real. A million children go missing every single year in the United States. Now, speaking of your kids, make sure you feed your kids right, that you take care of your kids. Make sure you feed your family correct. Ladies, we've got a brand new cookbook coming out. It'll be out in weeks. We've got the final edit on it. We're making the final corrections on the copy right now. It's going to the press, and we're going to have these available probably within the next 4 to 6 weeks. They'll be back from the press, ready to go. These are the Brewer-tested recipes. A bunch of them are Brewer-tested five-star recipes. You're going to love them. My wife has an oatmeal cookie made with cottage cheese. You heard that right. An oatmeal cookie made with cottage cheese. It sounds absolutely awful when you say that, but it is absolutely one of the best tasting cookies you've ever eaten in your entire life. Isn't it awesome? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's really good.
And we're going to teach you guys how to feed your kids and eat healthy foods and eat clean. The book's coming out. You guys are absolutely, absolutely going to love it. Guys, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful weekend. God bless you guys. I appreciate it. And thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for being our friends and praying for us. Thank you for all the positive emails that we get from you guys on an ongoing basis. Thank you so very much that you get your supplements from us. It makes all of this possible. Austin, I will need you to do the write-up today. I will say goodbye, and I will see you guys on Monday. God bless. Bye-bye.
Sounds good, brother. Yeah, and one you guys are going to like on there, one of the recipes are the Fit Food Almond Butter Protein Cookies. I actually worked with Mom on getting those dialed in for the longest time. They're unbelievably good. We basically used the chocolate Fit Food with almond butter and some oatmeal and some, I think, monk fruit, a couple other little things. But she's got that recipe in there, and it's like 8 or 9 grams of protein per little cookie, like 120 calories per cookie. They're really, really good snacks, especially if you're on the go and you're hungry. I always throw a couple of them in a Ziploc bag, and, I mean, you feel energized. You get real, true, clean, raw nutrients in it and a lot of protein, especially for all you guys that are listening to us that train all the time still and are athletes like we are. You gotta feed. You guys know how much food it takes to maintain a healthy body, especially a healthy physique when you're training all the time. It takes a lot of food, and sometimes it's not convenient to bring Tupperware with you everywhere. These things fit that role perfectly. So you guys are going to love the book. I'm super excited about it. We've all written chapters in it, so it's really, really exciting to see this when it comes out, but we will keep you guys posted. So if you guys need anything, check out the website at healthmasters.com. When the book comes out, we'll post it on the website as well, and of course, we'll put it on the radio show so you guys know when it's ready to go. And be sure to check out the product of the week, our magnesium Dead Sea Oil. Phenomenal transdermal magnesium topical product. Very, very popular. And be sure to vote on the other products on product of the week at healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed, safe night, an awesome weekend. And I will talk to you again Monday, bright and early, or bright and late in the afternoon, 3 p.m. You guys have an awesome weekend, guys.